Okay, here we go. If the last one didn't get me in trouble, this one probably will, but I don't know, it might have the opposite effect. I think it's really good. Hope you like it. Because if you really want to talk about Panemius, you have to talk about the light. You have to talk about the positive, not the negative.
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Hey, Consciously family, welcome back. Okay, so about to head out on a break. I'm going to head into the world of No Consciously for a couple weeks. I'm blessed. I'm going with my family to visit Florida, to visit some people I really care about for some R&R. And then, please God, I'm going to be heading to Israel to do a little bit of a mission, visit the recovery community in Jerusalem, and also try to support the soldiers over there. So that's a fun thing. But before I got out, I wanted to get an episode in connected to the last episode. We talked about, you know, some of the dangers that I see and feel about perceiving life or our challenges exclusively through a lens of trauma, and how that really kind of ends up with a person almost living in a mindset and an attitude that tends to be opposite what we're trying to achieve by tapping into the light of Chassidus and Panemius HaTorah. So I got some really positive feedback from the last episode. I was kind of nervous because, you know, people feel strongly about trauma, and particularly today it's kind of people, especially as I mentioned last week, a long history of, you know, people really kind of denying the role of trauma. So people tend to get very, you know, sensitive about those things. So people kind of get really upset. But I, obviously, as I said last week, the goal here is not to invalidate the impact of trauma, but just to try to encourage a more broad perspective on healing and personal development and the nature of what makes us us, and in a manner that kind of leads us towards drawing closer to our Creator, and as importantly, one might say more importantly, drawing closer to being our own best self, being more us and not less. So I got some really great feedback. And one of the feedbacks I got, though, was that it would really be useful to try to talk in a more kind of positive light and not just talk about, you know, what things should not be. You know, it's easy to be critical, particularly in a mental health space. You know, it's always easy as like a therapist or a family member, a loved one of someone's in therapy, to kind of question another therapist's or a therapist's perspective, but you don't really understand necessarily the ins and outs. It's very easy to be critical. There's always, as anyone who's kind of in the mental health field will know, there's always so many variables that you're dealing with. I mean, I guess really all of us, every single person knows, you know, there's so many variables we're dealing with, so it's really hard to like pinpoint one particular thing. But nonetheless, so it's easy to be kind of critical, much more difficult to be proactively positive. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to take some time to talk about what would be an Panemius-informed intervention for trauma, and how would we look at that. So I was going to try to fit it into one episode, but it's definitely not going to fit into one episode. So I'll do two episodes, one now, and then I'm going to spend some time over the next few weeks really thinking about part two, and then hopefully I'll record that when I come back. Thank you for joining us. Subscribe, share us, lightrevealed.org, weekly newsletter. There's a link. There should be a link in the episode description for that, to sign up for that newsletter. It's got all the different stuff. Joey's doing some remarkable stuff. If you're listening to this timely, Joey's weekly thing that he sends out, PDF that he sends out, is remarkable this week. First of all, it's beautifully designed, but also just very deep, very wonderful, and stuff that Ben's doing, and Morty and Shmaya, who are a little bit on a hiatus. So check that out. Anyway, social media, @TheLightRevealed. Okay, enough. Okay, so anyone who knows me knows, and if you're listening to this podcast, you know I have the privilege to hear people's stories, which I hold to be like one of the deepest honors of my life to sit with somebody. You know, it oftentimes happens because someone's coming out of a space of darkness and they're looking for help, but sometimes it's because they're in a place of light and they want to share. And I had something like that this week. A remarkable young woman connected to some of the stuff that I do wanted to share, or it was kind of pertinent for her to share her story with me. She's in a wonderful place. She's doing really well, but there was a lot. Her story was really, it was a journey. And I was deeply humbled by the courage and resilience that she has displayed. And I was deeply horrified by the way her missteps and some of her maladaptive reactions to objective travesties that were perpetrated on her were later used by others as weapons. Mostly by people who either didn't understand or actively sought to not understand and even deny what had occurred to her. So I was kind of like thinking about this episode and then listening to this person share, this young woman share. I was kind of like very humbled by this whole thing. Like, talking about trauma is so overwhelming. Talking to people that have encountered trauma is so overwhelming. It's so difficult. It's so humbling because you're talking to people who really, truly have suffered. And yet, on the other hand, as we're going to talk about in a moment, you're talking to everybody. You see, because when we're talking about trauma, we have to distinguish between what I would really frame as like global and objectively tragic events and more personal and subjectively tragic events. Right? This paradigm or this kind of dichotomy is oftentimes sloppily referred to as capital T trauma versus the opposite, lowercase t trauma. So, and I'm trying to like give a different frame for that, what that means, meaning there's different types of trauma. And when you talk about trauma in this kind of context, you might be alluding to one type of trauma, but you're really talking about the other, because talking about the first is, it's just absurd. It's like, how could you even talk about it? So let me unpack that a little bit. You see, global and objective traumas, or global and objective tragedies which cause trauma, are those that we can all understand and be horrified by. That's why I would call them global and objective. Those events that are, objectively speaking, tragic and traumatic, whether it's for a few moments, hours, or days when we hear of them, or for a lifetime for the people that experience them. Those things which transcend explanation and reason. Personal and subjective traumas are those tragedies which are kind of very human, very normal. They're what goes on every day, and in some ways they go, as we'll talk about in a moment, to the core of all of existence. Now, when you think about trauma, what you'll kind of notice, if you just think about it, is that all global and objectively tragic events include some measure of personal, subjective impact. And what I mean by this is anyone who's experienced horrible circumstances, sexual violence, right? Sexual violence is objectively traumatizing. It's subjectively a tragedy, right? So it's objectively a tragedy across the board. No matter who it is, that's something that you're going to be deeply affected by, and it's objectively outside the frame of kind of the Overton window of what's reasonable. But on the other hand, each person that encounters something like that has their own experience of it, and that experience is very much related to their personal life, who they are, their gender, their age, their previous experience with sexuality, what their morals are about those things. Not that that means that they deserve or don't deserve, or it's more or less traumatic, but how they encounter it is not just in the global objective standard, but also in that kind of personal and subjective. And the way that I want to kind of talk about this is really kind of being able to differentiate between those things that we encounter that are overwhelming because they're overwhelming to us, and those things we encounter and the aspects of those things that we encounter that are just plain overwhelming. You see, despite the fact that personal and subjective trauma is always a part of global and objective forms of trauma, and despite that they reflect one another, they cannot be equated as the same. The main difference is that we all experience, in some form, personal and subjective trauma. Life itself, as we said, is a trauma of separation from our essence and source. To exist, we must be torn away from our Creator, and in our lives, torn out of our womb, the womb that we come from. This process repeats itself constantly in life as we are challenged to become more and more independent and autonomous, to be actualized as a person. To be a person means to be separated in some way from God and from where we come from, to start to see ourselves developmentally, to orient ourselves as separate and independent beings. And there's an inherent trauma within that. And all of that process is ultimately to open the door to a new place of connection, but a connection that's conscious, a dira betachtonim. More can be said about the idea of dira betachtonim maybe on a later podcast. So life itself is traumatic. Life itself is inherently laced with separation anxiety, with the anxiety of apartness that we feel, and then all of the manifestations of that, all the pain and suffering that we experience in our disappointments in that journey of finding our own independent story of life when we encounter things that are unfair or difficult. So we all experience personal and subjective trauma, some more and some less, but it is something that is universal to the human experience. Objective and global traumas or objective and global tragedies that cause traumatic reactions are events that are so powerful, they seemingly transcend even the rupture of existence itself. I mean, they're even worse than that. And these are reflected in Pnimius in the idea of gullus, and they're manifest in terrible tragedies that shock the system. Those terrible events, those people that encounter those terrible events, maybe what those who it occurs to, but even those who just residually encounter them, meaning hear about them, listen to them, see them. These traumas challenge the very idea of an orderly universe directed by a sane creator. They imply the creator is callous to reality, and they imply a fundamental unfairness in the universal order. These tragedies may happen to one person or a group of people, but we call them global and objective because no sane person could perceive them as fair and true. And anyone with a heart and a semblance of emotional maturity who hears of them shudders and is themselves broken. Even those that don't have the kalim to acknowledge what happened and often just pretend, practicing a cognitive distance around them in some way that they're not real, often, sadly, adding trauma to the victims, right? All these objective traumas include horrors of war, chronic and repeated sexual abuse, especially for a child, sexual violence like rape, and other acts of terrorism, political, or just the unfortunate experience of being in relationship with a very bad narcissist. All global and objective trauma includes within it a personal and subjective component, though, and the journey to healing includes our capacity to face and process both of these, meaning the objective traumas of life and our personal traumas. Sometimes, for example, one will trigger the other. Let's say I stub my toe and suddenly I realize the world's unfair. A million children died in Auschwitz. Obviously, there's not a clear connection to that, but you know, when we're walking around in life, one of the things you'll find about global traumas is that we can really kind of disassociate from them because they're floating out in space. We know abuse occurs to people. But then when we encounter someone who has been abused, it's very overwhelming. But even when we don't encounter people that have been abused, but we encounter a micro form of unfairness, we're reminded that the world is unfair. And that's very, very difficult. So in one way, we all know what it's like to experience the rupture of encountering the seemingly hopeless and senseless reality of separation. But in another way, those of us who are fortunate to be far removed emotionally from a global and objective trauma, or who have been blessed to have never directly encountered one, have to stand in awe and respect of the reality that exists for people who have been victimized and who still live in the shadow of their darkness. We can only stand in solidarity and compassion. We can say nothing other than that their continued existence is itself a statement of their strength and courage and resilience. The perspective we're going to talk about over the next two episodes, having said that, the perspective that we're going to talk about over the next two episodes really only relates directly to our encounter with subjective and personal traumas. Though in some way, as we said, global and objective traumas are built and exist similarly to subjective personal ones. As we said, the global and objective traumas contain a personal and subjective aspect, and they're kind of made up of the same construct and material, they're simply not the same. Global and objective trauma can really only be spoken about individually and only with the deepest humility and awareness that we know nothing and have nothing to say in the face of such darkness. The best we can say in the face of darkness is nothing. To communicate our compassion and love, our admiration and respect by staying present with those who are suffering to validate their pain as they begin the journey to healing. Clinically speaking, or diagnostically speaking, we would call people who are still in an acute state of dysregulation or pathology as a result of their objective trauma, we call that like PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, though PTSD is broader than that. But like when you're talking about someone with PTSD, that's what you're talking about. So we have to like be cognizant that when we're talking about trauma, we're not talking about somebody who's actively in an acute state of an acute traumatized state as a result of a travesty. We're either talking about trauma as relates our subjective experience through our lifetime, which can kind of change. I didn't mention that before, you know, meaning sometimes I can go through something in life that's not traumatic, but only later I look back in retrospect and realize like, whoa, that was really not right. And it's somewhat traumatizing. So there's that piece. But then there's also people that are steps removed from that acute state of trauma and are now just kind of coping with the fact that something like that happened to them, right? So the subjective trauma within the objective trauma, right? That's who kind of we're talking to because, as I said, like it's a silly conversation. So I think if we're going to begin to have a discussion about the way in which Pnimius associates itself with trauma or the way that Pnimius HaTorah informs how we look at somebody who's grappling with traumatic, tragic events that occurred in their life and the traumatic effect of that on their sense of well-being, I think we have to like limit it to that. Partially because that acute state, and that's why I brought up the diagnostic term, post-traumatic stress disorder, is a pathological state that's like a disease, so to speak, is an unwellness, right? So you're not going to necessarily treat an unwellness with a theoretical framework or a spiritual idea, right? That has to be treated as is. But then over time, there's other aspects to the thing, meaning there's once a person moves out of that acute state, now there's time to really like unpack all of that, especially since we're humans and we're more complex than just the, you know, neurological impact of the shock to the system of encountering something so overwhelming and kind of like coming to grips with the whole thing and coming to grips by extension with all of reality, as we've said, which is in and of itself traumatic because how could we feel separation when we're surrounded by God, which is one of the most fundamental philosophical questions that's dealt with in Pnimius HaTorah. If God is everywhere, if it's Ein Od Milvado, as the Baal HaTanya addresses in the early chapters of Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, if God is truly Ein Od Milvado and he is everywhere, then how could I even feel separation? How is darkness even something I could perceive? If I perceive darkness, then there's something wrong. It should cause a rupture in my perspective, and I have to kind of come to terms with that. And much of the healing, as we're going to talk about, is about all the parts of me being able to come to terms with the reality of what existence is within the construct of how God decided to create and continues to sustain reality. So, therefore, it's with like my head bowed and with acknowledgement that I can never truly understand what some people go through that we begin to discuss what we can for today identify with. You see, in addiction recovery, they talk about one of the skills that people in the addiction recovery world and the extensive, you know, also the mental health recovery world, specifically going to mutual aid groups like AA, is the willingness and ability to learn to identify and not compare. You see, when you're in a group therapy setting, but particularly when you're kind of in a group therapeutic or healing setting or personal development setting, like a 12-step meeting, that's, let's say, not like being moderated by a mental health professional, it's critically important that we learn how to be more connected to the people around us as opposed to more disconnected, right? If the people sharing at the meeting focus on how they're different than everybody or how they're unique, then it doesn't allow the people around them to feel connected and to learn from them or to have compassion. And the same, if I sit in a meeting or in an environment like that and I think about how I'm different, I'm not really going to be able to learn to glean from other people a sense of hope that I also could get better, just like they got better, or also learn from what they did to get better. Because if I do what they did, there's no reason that I can't get what they have. This principle, this idea of identifying and not comparing, acknowledges that we can never really understand the pain, the subjective pain of someone else. And then if we look at our differences, we'll never be able to feel a sense of healing camaraderie with others, because no two people and no two traumas are alike. Yet, as humans, as spiritual beings having a human experience, we all experience different things in the same or similar ways. And if we focus on identification, on the similarities and the overlap we have with others, mostly how we feel in the same way, we can foster a sense of community and family, a sense of community and family of compassion and love that will give us and them the opportunity to recover and heal. In this light and in this manner, we can begin to discuss trauma with the real acknowledgement and awareness that while we could never understand, I surely can identify because I too exist and I too have encountered the seemingly insane darkness of the universe in my own way. And so from that place of connection and unity, I'm going to share with you today, meaning that's where I'm coming to this context in this podcast. Now, in order to begin a discussion about how Pnimius HaTorah views tragedy and the traumatic effects those tragedies have on our lives, we have to kind of run through some very foundational principles of how Pnimius looks at these things. Right? And some of these we reflected in last week's episode. So A, Aleph, you are exactly who you are supposed to be and find yourself exactly where you are meant to be. One of the premises of being able to look at trauma through the lens of Pnimius is this basic fundamental faith that there is some kind of destiny along which I am walking and that I am exactly where I am supposed to be. I'm going where I'm supposed to go. Now, if a person doesn't have that sense of faith, they can go back and get it, or they can even challenge it and look to other frameworks to understand trauma. But it would be impossible to discuss how Pnimius HaTorah looks at trauma without first and foremost acknowledging the role of emuna, of faith, in a person's destiny. That doesn't necessarily, by the way, require a lot of opinion about the creator or about the universe, the goodness of other people, though all those things are connected. But fundamentally, at the very, very, very least, there has to be an acknowledgement that there is a destiny that a person is on, as that a person is exactly where they're supposed to be in the trajectory, because anything opposite that would mean that the world is not the way God wants it to be. Right? Now, part of what reflects this, right, and this is where it can get very, very dense, and I don't want to get lost in philosophy, but, and this is, and specifically looking at this through the lens of Pnimius HaTorah as it's manifest through the light of Chassidus, is that as, let's say, as Jews, the Jewish people, on the one hand, we see ourselves as in Galus, and Galus, we're in exile, and exile is because of our sins. If a person, Chazal, the rabbis clearly say that if a person is living at a time where there's not a Beis HaMikdash, where there's not a temple, and the Jewish people do not have national autonomy within their land, that's because they haven't earned that right, right? It's as if the temple was destroyed in their lifetime. So on the one hand, there's an aspect of existence that is not the way it should be or it could be, right? But on the other hand, there's another frame within Pnimius HaTorah. Some of this is well beyond my comprehension, but at least I can say the words, right? Because I've heard them well enough, where God sent the Jewish people into Gullus in order for them to gather up the sparks, the holy sparks that are separated all over the world that occurred in a process called Shviras HaKelim, where the Jewish people were sent out into the world, meaning that Gullus is purposeful and meaningful, that we are exactly where we are supposed to be. The Jewish people are on a journey that led us out of Eretz Yisrael into areas of Europe, ultimately into Eastern Europe, and then through some really wacky intervention, ultimately ending up with the vast majority, like vast, vast majority of the Jewish people being either in the United States or in Israel, right? And those two places being bastions of a developing Jewish world. And that is actually on purpose, right? So on the one hand, there's an awareness that life is not what it could be, or even what it should be, from one vantage point, if I put on one set of glasses, and yet that life is exactly what it is supposed to be, and that's because I am where God wants me to be, the Jewish people are where God wants me to be. So part of the frame of looking at trauma is, on the one hand, being able to hold that one opposite, and there's a dichotomy here, right? There's a dialectic here that we have to hold on to. On the one hand, it's tragic, right? Because if you only have the faith-based part where I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, so then what am I so upset about? I should be happy about my trauma. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. No, that's not the way Pnimius HaTorah looks at it, right? It's tragic. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's so sad. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And I'm so sorry that that happened to me. And it shouldn't happen to me. Or it could have been that it didn't happen to me. Or there's a universe, there's a realm of existence where that didn't happen, so to speak, or that the good that emerged from the darkness that I'm encountering, the good that emerged from the darkness that I'm encountering could have manifested in more pleasant ways, right? That's one part. And on the other hand, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Another fundamental frame of Pnimius HaTorah is that the journey that we're on when we're dealing with trauma is not one of healing. Healing is a vital step and aspect, but it is not the purpose and nature of what this is. The journey of grappling with travesties and their traumatic effect on us is one of uncovering and discovering strengths and removing blockages, right? And then discarding the blockages and developing the strengths that we found. Meaning, the function of me facing trauma is not about healing trauma. The function of me facing trauma within the framework of Pnimius HaTorah, of spirituality, of mysticism, is to become more and more yourself and to reveal more and more of yourself. Right? So it's not about moving away. On the one hand, I'm accepting that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, even though there's a part of me that knows that it's tragic, right? And on the other hand, I'm accepting that I'm not even in the process of healing those things. I'm only trying to heal the aspects of the trauma that are getting in the way of me being myself. But what I'm really trying to do is reveal a me that A, is partially shaped by the experience, but also is now blocked by that. The next fundamental, foundational principle that you'll find in the framework of Pnimius HaTorah, I think, and I didn't say this enough, this is all just my perspective, for whatever it's worth, right? And I'm probably wrong on many fronts. I don't know, but this is all I know, right? So I'm just sharing. Okay, I've said, apologized enough for myself? Okay, fine. So there's one of the other fundamental principles that I see is that there's deep and meaningful purpose in this very movement. You see, part of this context that we have to build on, A, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. The journey is not one of healing. Healing is a vital aspect, but the purpose is to reveal myself and to be more myself. The moment that I'm in is fundamentally purposeful. It's not what's called a hechatimsa. It's not a means to an end. It itself right now is powerfully important. Your journey of healing toward actualization and the revelation of your light is vital to the journey of humanity and existence itself right now. And each moment that I step forward, each individual moment, each thing that I walk through is another fulfillment of the perfect journey of existence itself. It's not a means to an end, meaning I need to become myself so that all of reality can be itself, but rather in the context of each individual moment of me walking through the different parts and components of my trauma or the traumatized effect of the tragedies that occurred to me, right? And obviously I keep on going back to that kind of distinction, right? Is utterly valuable. And just to like tease this out, part of that is because what we're going to find is, and this is where if you're not looking at trauma through this lens, this is something that gets lost severely, like really, and causes people like such like pain and suffering that's so sad, is that the process of working through trauma is oftentimes multi-layered and takes many rounds. And people want to, they feel like, okay, I want to just go and do the trauma work and then I'll be over it and then I can go back to being myself. But in fact, what you find is that people that work their way through traumatic effects of tragic events is that they have to oftentimes work through them multiple times and at different junctures. Meaning it's not just because I have to go back to it many times, but also because I'm not always ready to look at it, or I don't always have the context to look at it. So something could happen to a parent, right, when they're 12, right? And then they get married, and for the first time, they're in a relationship with another person, right? And that triggers their trauma, right? And then they get, and then they have a child, or they get a new job, and they have a boss, and they have to look at the trauma again. And then their kid, they have a child, and that kid turns 12 years old, and they have to look at it again. And that can play itself out. That's just an example, but that can play itself out. And each time is teasing out a different aspect of the tzimtzum that was created, the constriction of light, the darkness that was created that the person never could have even seen, right? And the light that's hidden by that darkness, right? The person could never have seen if they didn't go over it again. So, but if I don't understand that each moment of my journey towards healing, and most of all, actualization and revealing my light, right, is vital, then I'm just waiting for it to be over so I can get on to being myself, right? So that's another fundamental principle. Another principle is that the source and sustainer of all reality, God, is intimately aware and engaged in every asset and facet of your life, of your journey, and that God cares deeply about you and has been anxiously awaiting just this sequence since the creation of the world, right? So in addition to the fact that everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and in addition to the fact that working through trauma involves healing, but really is about being more myself, and in addition to the fact that each moment is deeply meaningful to the overall perspective of reality, part of what Pnimius HaTorah reveals, and this is part of that same context of how we look at trauma, is that in a certain way, even though we say that the trauma is bad, God has been waiting to walk through this path with you since the creation of all reality. God has been waiting for this. He treasures this, right? He wants this, which can be very, very difficult, particularly, again, if a person's in that state of acute context, you know, acute connection to, you know, objective, horrifying trauma. You can't even talk about these things because how could you even understand that? But ultimately, right, when we step away from that and we get some space between us and those objective and we're kind of stuck within our own experience of them, we can start to grapple with the fact that God created separation and darkness, and all darkness and separation, all tzimtzum, everything that's constrained within reality is something that God did purposely because he wanted, as we alluded to before, Adir B'Tachtonim, and this moment of my darkness is an expression of Adir B'Tachtonim that God was Nis'ava, he was waiting for. And it has purpose, and there's an Iskafya, and Ishafcha, there's a subjugation and a transformation of that darkness to reveal light, and that God is waiting anxiously and excitedly to walk through that journey with you. Another fundamental principle. You see, in the light of Pnimas HaTorah, all of creation, the world and reality, were designed for this very journey. Meaning, everything was designed with this journey in mind, to facilitate and bring about you and your story. As Chazal teach us, right, Chayev Adam Lomer, Beshvili Nivra Olam, that the world was created for me. The Tanya says this very, very explicitly, that a person, and particularly where the Tanya talks about it, is particularly when he's talking about when a person realizes how a person can meditate on how much God loves him, in the sense that when he's in his darkest space, he can turn to God and God is right there for him, right? Which shows the extent of God's love. God is not only available to people that are on the highest levels, but in some ways he's most available to people that are in the lowest spaces, right? And in that context of talking about that space of Yetzias Mitzrayim, each person's individual Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Alter Rebbe says that he makes, the Baal HaTanya says very explicitly that when it says that we have to envision ourselves as if we're leaving Mitzrayim, the Alter Rebbe says very explicitly every single day, at every single moment, because each moment that we face the trauma of reality is a facing of Mitzrayim, and that God is waiting to walk through that, and that everything is Bishvili Nivra Olam, everything was created just for this, for me to walk through this moment. It's not only that each individual aspect of moving past or transforming the traumatic effects of tragedies in my life is not only meaningful to all of reality, but in fact, even more so, it's all of reality is just for this. Meaning, it's not just that all of reality needs this as part of a broader picture, but everything, God himself, has been waiting for this moment to walk through this with you. Now, the key prerequisite to walking your journey is constantly reorienting your perspective and attitude back towards God, his will, and his vision. As we've been laying out here, faith is such a fundamental part of this. So therefore, if I want to walk through the journey of grappling with healing, but also removing, transforming, molding the traumatic effects of tragedies in my life, right? I always have to, develop the ability to constantly reorient myself back to God, that God should always remain my higher power, the guiding force and source of the guiding principles of my journey and the reason behind my journey, right? At no point, in order for me to heal properly from my trauma, but even more so, in order for me to walk through the journey of my trauma and become who I'm meant to be, I always have to make sure that at no point am I making the traumatizer or the trauma my higher power. Am I making it what defines me? Now, the carrying out of this vision, our journey, is most powerfully acute when we have in mind that in fulfilling our destiny, facing and walking this journey, we uplift not only ourselves, but the whole Jewish people and the whole world, and bring unfathomable nachas, like a parental pride, to the Creator himself. Now, because of that, what's most meaningful is when we have in mind in our journey of trauma to act in the name of the whole Jewish people and in the name of bringing nachas to our Creator, right? All of this is building one on the other. If I'm aware that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, that means there's a God involved. And if it's not just a journey of healing, but rather of uncovering, discovering, discarding the blockages and the negativity and developing strengths, right? And how that is deeply meaningful in each component of it, for myself and also for all reality, and that God has been anxiously awaiting this journey and all of creation was designed for this, and that the key prerequisite is always to reorient my perspective for that, then always what I want to do is that in walking through this journey of trauma, if I want to do so with Pnimius and not allow my trauma to become my higher power, I have to be aware that when I do this, I'm doing this not just as a me, not just as an individual. I'm doing this as a member of a people, as a part of a people, as a carrier of the banner of a spiritual people. having a human experience, and in order to give nachas to my creator, meaning to give Hashem, to give God a sense of satisfaction in the fulfillment of what he ultimately wanted, to take that which appears dark and to reveal light. And that leads us to the last principle that I want to talk about today. And that is the acceptance that a person has to come to, that the perfect version of you is in fact the imperfect, perfect expression of who you will grow to become by walking the very journey placed before you. This is exactly who you are meant to be. Not even part of the distinction over here, this last piece. It's really important to absorb this, I think. Again, just my thoughts. Is the awareness that it's not only that I'm fulfilling some predetermined mission. It's not just about that, but that this is going to help me become my best me, my most expressed me. This is going to allow me to be actualized. And what that does is that it opens the door for me even to be, so to speak, grateful for the journey that I've had. And you see this many times in the rooms of recovery, and people are shocked by it. I've mentioned this before in the podcast, right? You'll walk into a meeting and someone will say, I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic, or I'm so grateful that that happened. You'll hear this in other contexts also, not just in recovery world, but obviously a large section of our audience is in recovery. So I mentioned that, but like people, how could you be grateful that that happened? And obviously, objectively speaking, and that goes back to that first point that we were making, like it's sad and it's tragic and I'd rather the tragedy not happen. But now that it's happened, I realize that I'm way better off than I ever would have been. And I'm even grateful that it happened. And if I had to choose to do it again, I would choose for it to be the exact same way. And that's a very, again, that's a very, that's not a thing you can say to someone who's in that acute state and that overwhelming or has encountered an objective, you know, trauma that's unfathomable, right? These contexts are only for those of us who have moved away from that and are now living in that place of subjectivity or the subjective traumas of life itself. So these are like the fundamental keys. And I think it's easy to see how there's going to be a real distinction. And I do want to walk through like the in the next episode, right? And obviously we're already 42 minutes in, so it's long. So I apologize. But in the next episode, I want to talk about like how that plays itself out in the different parts, because part of the genius of this is the way in which it orients the different parts of us. It is not just limited to certain parts of us, which some of the other frames, as we talked about in the last episode, but you can start to see how you have a real framework and methodology that's rooted in faith, that's rooted in a relationship with God, that's rooted in an awareness of a journey, and rooted in a journey of transformation, a journey of sweetening, of taking severity and making it kindness. It's really very, very humbling, right? It's very humbling to like think about the fact that that is what someone who's facing trauma is doing. They're taking severity and they're transforming it into sweetness. They're taking darkness, the darkness of Tzimtzum, of God hiding himself in order to give us existence, and they're making it a revelation of God. They're revealing God from darkness itself. And this is something that my friend Joey Rosenfeld is talking about all the time. Like, I'm like, you know, like, go listen to Joey. Like, he's talking about this all the time and many, many others, right? But to like think about it in that way, like when I'm in my journey of healing of trauma, however I choose to take that journey and whatever methodologies or tools I utilize in that journey, the journey is one of epic proportions, of transforming what appears to be the opposite of divinity into divinity itself. So to sum it up, the foundation of facing trauma, I think, from a Pnimiyas HaTorah lens, is the acceptance that everything is exactly the way it's meant to be. I am exactly the way I am meant to be, meaning I am perfect. And my goal in facing the darkness that's in my heart and recovering is about becoming more myself and being able to uncover and reveal myself more and more. The real question that lies at the heart of the approach toward healing and working through trauma is that this approach toward healing and working through trauma is that really, is that reality is here, and what am I going to do about it now? The past is perfect, the future is perfect, and my arena is the present, what is in front of me. How am I going to honor my own journey and story? How am I going to love myself enough to embrace who I am and what my life story is and become the man or woman I am meant to be? Not because of my trauma and those who harmed me, but rather despite them. What they did was wrong, but what happened to me is exactly is what is meant to be and what my soul needs to fulfill its journey in this reality and in order to manifest the light that I am, fulfilling the dream that God had at the moment of inception of all reality that you one day would be. And then when we realize that, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov realizes, just to throw in a little bit of Rabbi Nachman, when we realize that, when I'm in that context of trauma, right, then it opens the door for compassion. Because if the whole world's waiting for me, then I need to think about the whole world. And now not only can I pray for myself, and I can not only become consumed by the tragic narcissism of self-soothing that comes along with focusing on trauma, I can begin to realize that there's other people around that need me, and I can begin to share. And then the miracle of recovery occurs. All right. I'll let you know how my trip goes. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed, a social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipora Bas Rav Aharon. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.